Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
Did anybody get a chance to go to the Dodge Poetry Festival? I went on Thursday, which is normally Teacher's Day, but it wasn't just limited to teachers. Anybody familiar with Gary Snyder, the poet Gary Snyder? So he was there. He's now 84 years old, still full of life. He was a part of the San Francisco Renaissance of poetry and also most well known for being a beat poet and also for being part of the movement that brought Zen from Japan here. He lived in Japan for a number of years and studied at a monastery with several different teachers. So not only was he a poet, but he was also a Zen student. And in my development in the late 60s and 70s, you know, he was a character on the scene of what was going on then. He was very much involved with deep ecology, which sort of based on Dogen's understanding, you know, we've talked about the deep interrelatedness of all things in the world. And he lived up in the Pacific Northwest and still does, and spends a lot of his time nowadays advocating for the environment. So that was sort of fun to, you know, I remember him when he was probably in his late 20s or 30s, and so seeing him when he's 84, it's sort of a, it's like a mental shift you have to make, you know. This is not the Gary Snyder that I remember, but it was great fun, and the poetry festival was really good. I wasn't able to stay the whole day. I think I left around 3:30. But it lasts 4 days, and, you know, really a variety of poets. And it was at the New Jersey PAC in Newark, and then a variety of other venues, churches, and stuff around. So the other thing that also happened was Algira, which is an art gallery that Cecily Cottingham is part of, is like right across the street from New Jersey PAC. So I got to visit there, and she happened to be there, so I saw her. So it was like an extra bonus getting to see that. So the cover of the poetry festival, there's a quote from Amiri Baraka, and it says, "If you were always right, would it be easier or more difficult living in the world?" Gary Snyder, there was a conversation, each of four poets read some of their poetry, and although Gary Snyder has written very long poems regarding the environment, he focused on his shorter poems, and he quoted Busan, who was a famous haiku and a Japanese haikuist and also a poet, who said, "If you want to write poetry, the most important thing is to remain unprepared." So today, this talk is related to the new book that Bill and Jeff have introduced for our practice circles. What's the name of it, Bill?
Most Intimate.
Most Intimate. Pat O'Hara, right? Mm-hmm. So I've sort of tailored talks to support the practice circle for that. I know not today we're not having it because it's chant day, but... And what happens over time, you know, you can only give so many talks before you start to repeat yourself. You know, there's only so much really to say, but I think closely related to intimacy is the experience of vulnerability, which I have talked about before. And, you know, even if I say the word vulnerability, you might want to take a moment to observe what thoughts you have or what feelings come up. Now, Merriam-Webster defines vulnerability as, quote, capable of being physically or emotionally wounded. It also provides synonyms for vulnerability like exposed or endangered. So, you know, in the Western world, we are taught that vulnerability, in essence, is a weakness, is something to be afraid of. A liability, a shortcoming. And conversely, in the West, we prize individuality self-sacrifice, being strong, being invulnerable. These are admirable concepts. Now, some of you may disagree, but that's okay. Really just to a way of raising the subject of vulnerability and generally how I personally think we relate to it in this culture. And, you know, for men in particular, if we share fear, if men share fear or vulnerability, we're considered weak. We're not considered men. And I think in general, vulnerability is considered to be sort of a negative attribute, a dangerous place to be. In our practice, however, in Zen practice, vulnerability is a prerequisite for deepening our practice, for becoming more vulnerable. And from a spiritual perspective, I would define vulnerability as being open to life, open to experiencing pain, sorrow, joy, tenderness, life, death, etc. The full range of human experience, open to feeling connected to the universe as it unfolds moment to moment in all its complexity and unpredictability. Now, as I read these words, there may even be some of you amongst me who are saying, oh no, I'm not going that far. Because it can be scary. And I know I've shared this story before, but I never knew I was vulnerable until I was on a week-long retreat. And all of the ways that I had adapted to a difficult childhood started to drop away. All of the ways that I had protected myself, the way I had allowed myself to survive my childhood, and I became vulnerable. And it scared the hell out of me, and if you recall, I think I told this, I left the retreat. I couldn't bear the feeling of being vulnerable. But if we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable, there is no connection, and therefore no compassion, no open-heartedness, no love, no intimacy. Vulnerability is the core, it's the heart of realization. And vulnerability requires surrender. And the surrender of what? Surrender of everything. Surrender of our identity, of who we think we are. That person that resides at the center of the universe most of the time. Surrender of our most cherished ideas and preferences, leaving us in a state of emptiness. In a state of not knowing, or as Suzuki Roshi referred to it as, accepting things as it is. Now, being unknowingly present to this very moment is being vulnerable. There's nothing to hold on to. The rug gets pulled out. But at the very same time, if you can, like I had to learn to do, bear the vulnerability, accept the vulnerability, the doorway to realization can open. It's important to remember that Zen is a relational practice. When we become vulnerable, we no longer hide behind everything we think we know or feel. We realize the fundamental interrelationship of all things. And to paraphrase M. Scott Peck, there can be no vulnerability without risk. There can be no interrelatedness without vulnerability. There can be no peace, and ultimately no life without interrelatedness. Now, it just hit me. This page goes on. This talk goes on for about 5 more pages, but I think I'm going to stop there. I think I've said enough about it without beating the proverbial dead horse. So thank you for listening.